You're listening to the Goggler Podcast, Restricted Movement Edition. Ian, Bahir, and Uma with you, all recording remotely today because, you know, we're following the ground rules set out by the government and keeping safe. But before we start the podcast, Ian, you went out into KL yesterday and it looked a little bit like a ghost town as you posted on Instagram. What was it like? I've never been in KL when it was like that. I mean, it looked worse than Chinese New Year.
That shot of Bukit Bintang was freaky.
Yeah, it was like I just wanted to run around like Tom Cruise and Vanilla Sky screaming, tech support! But by that point, by the time we got there, we'd already got kind of busy. It was kind of laden down with shopping because we didn't do panic buying on Tuesday. We had to go out and do a little bit of buying and we couldn't get meat.
Right.
But we went to Isetan, closes at 6 in KLCC. It's the only one that's open. Jai Grocer had, like, we got the last two pieces of minced beef. And then we went to Pavilion where they had everything. So, and no queues. So that was pointless going all the way over there when we could have just walked there in the first place. But yeah, it's just empty. You see just like one or two cars. I got annoyed this morning as well because there was the FMT, was it Free Malaysia Today?
Yeah.
They had a story that had photos of cops like stopping people outside Fahrenheit on Bukit Bintang and packing away tables outside a 7-Eleven or something. But they didn't mention any of that in the fucking story. They were just saying, oh, it was just a general, they've stopped people for being out. And it's like, give me some details, man.
There's also a ton of crazy bad information going on with regards to fake recordings of cops supposedly stopping people on the street. And I think the head cop, the IGP, has come out and said that all of that's fake. And essentially, you can go to the grocery shop and buy yourself some food. They're not going to arrest you for being out after a certain hour. I think the advice is stay at home as much as possible. And even if you do go out, take all those precautions, wash your hands while singing Never Gonna Let You Down.
Is that the song now?
I don't know.
The litany against fear from Dune also works, which is also apt. The litany against bacteria and viruses.
Sounds appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. But there, I mean, you don't have to worry that much about social distancing because there's literally no one on the streets. KLCC was just empty, which is eerie. It felt like coming out of the cinema at midnight, only in reverse, because you were going into the shops instead of out of it, and everything's closed. So I really wish I had a pair of rollerblades because this is the perfect time for it.
Yes!
I had a friend who went jogging yesterday, I think, and he made the mistake of posting it up on Instagram. And apparently he got a lot of shit for it. Like, people were just talking trash about, why are you leaving the house? Why are you going out?
It's okay as long, I mean, he's jogging. He's not touching anything.
Although you don't really want to go to a closed gym, do you?
I don't know. I just like to do some exercise. My girlfriend has got aerobics high intensity interval training on YouTube videos on the TV and was doing them yesterday.
My girlfriend was doing the same thing on YouTube. Those things must be doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Racking up them views.
So, which brings me to our first story regarding Evangeline Lilly from Lost. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I saw this.
I know, right? I mean, I read this and I was just like, well, that's a stand. She's decided, if you've missed this, to carry on life as normal because for some people, freedom is more important than their lives.
Assholes for assholes.
No, it's insane. Like, she seems, or at least from all the interviews I've read, I met her once, I think, for Ant-Man and the Wasp. Seems like a really rational individual, but she is taking her kids out to, like, gym camp and stuff. And I'm like,
and she has an elderly relative as well, right?
Her father, leukemia, stage four.
Yeah,
stage four leukemia. And she's been looking after her father, which is why she's immunocompromised as well. But also, even if you don't care about your life, this situation is important because it's caring about other people's lives.
Yeah.
Apparently she doesn't care about her children's lives either, because I mean that was weird. That to come out with that statement at that time just seemed odd, I think.
I mean, we're a little bit ahead of the US. I mean, they haven't copped onto this fact yet. I mean, I think I saw this morning California and LA is looking at like restricted movement orders now.
Yeah.
Just today.
Yeah.
So we've had a little bit of time to get our heads around it. And like, you know, I did go to the pub on Tuesday before they closed, but it wasn't very full. So it was okay. Yeah. We were socially distant and there's no symptoms so far. But also, I'm away from everybody anyway. And I did see in the supermarket yesterday, they had red lines on the floor in Mercado to demark where you should stand in the queue to stay away from each other. That's a cool thing. I didn't notice that.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot.
The local KFC had that as well. Also, the local KFC would only let 4 people into the store at any time.
I mean, everyone now is a school kid. When the sweet shop nearby your school, they'd only let in 3 at a time, so you didn't rob the place blind. So that's now everybody.
Oh, no. Our sweet shops never had that problem.
No?
I mean, they had the robbing blind problem.
And you thought only LV did that, right?
The other thing I saw was like the video of Gal Gadot saying, you know, they're all singing Imagine, but like, instead of everyone taking it as a heartwarming thing, everyone's just been dumping on it unmercifully, like taking screenshots of some of the people saying, like, are the stars okay? Because like, Will Ferrell looks pretty messed up. And I saw, and also Ellen looks very, very tired. And so it was basically someone else retweeted it saying, like, none of the stars have their makeup people anymore.
Yes.
It'll only be a couple of weeks before they all start melting.
I think someone else tweeted, I think it was Reese Witherspoon who shared a tweet saying in about 3 weeks, we'll know what everyone's natural hair color is looking like.
Oh.
but also, I mean, of all the celebrity stuff, there's one we shared on Instagram. I like the Kevin Bacon one best because he's all like 6 degrees, baby.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about.
I mean, he's already got it. It's 6 degrees to him all the time. He had it years ago.
He knows what social distancing is. When it comes to big celebrity news stories, the funniest one to come out over the last few days was because they finally released Cats on digital download. And I think this was a scheduled release. It wasn't part of the movies that were released early. But Seth Rogen finally got around to watching Cats, only he did it high and started live tweeting it. It is hilarious.
Yeah, I've been searching the internet for free stuff to do so that I don't have to watch it.
Oh yeah, you haven't seen it. That's right.
That's right. Bahir and I had to suffer through it while you were in Ireland, and I think now's the perfect opportunity for Ian McNally to have a few drinks because he's stuck at home and watch some Cats.
I mean, I'm having a few drinks anyway. Yeah, I think we should do some live tweet shows or something. I mean, the more obscure and weird, the better. But I did like, all I saw of that was just like, I saw someone retweeting Seth Rogen because even though you follow people, I have the live timeline on Twitter. So like, you miss an awful lot of those tweets. And it was just, what is it, Jellicle? And I was like, okay, we know exactly what's going on here.
I mean, I think more people now have watched Cats, just hate watched Cats for the most part. And that has led to a new hashtag on Tuesday night. The hashtag release the butthole cut began trending.
I did not see this until Ian, I guess you put it on the document. That's just weird, man.
Yeah, I'd seen it, and it's a little bit of like, oh, of an uncle who works at Nintendo kind of story at first. But like, what I like about this is that Universal responded to the email. Like Vanity Fair reached out to Universal asking them for a response, and they said, this is our favorite email of all time. I reckon the intern is managing the Universal account while everyone's away.
I don't know. I think the interns are managing everything while everyone's away. All the CEOs are hiding out in bunkers.
Well, but it sounds like someone from the actual VFX crew did say they didn't actually have to CGI out offending cat feline buttholes, but it was just like the skin and fur looked a bit weird in certain, a little suggestive at certain points.
Oh, no.
Had to redo.
Yeah, yeah. There was some very obvious suggestive. Because I always thought they were meant to be that way. I assume that they designed the furs to
be as asexual
to look a little
as possible.
Subjective.
Oh, you mean as sexual as possible?
Because, no.
Dude, when Idris Elba takes off his coat, it like the lack of anything is the scariest thing ever.
Yes, but also a lot of the females had a lot of, let's just say, figures going on as well.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
So, you know, so I just assumed that they shaded the fur certain ways to throw shadows.
You just assumed the director got horny on Maine.
I don't think it's the director.
The VFX.
I'm blaming a lot on Tom Hooper for that movie, but I'm not blaming that on him.
Here's the thing. I feel particularly bad that Ian's left out of this conversation because he hasn't experienced this.
Oh no, I think
I'm
so
okay.
Too. No,
okay.
I think you should watch it, Ian. I think just so you can feel what we're feeling or not feeling.
So I can. You felt strange rumblings, did you, Bahir? You found
no,
the
no.
Desires are unconventional now. Is
no,
it?
That, believe me, that's
keep
not the feelings I'm talking
away.
About.
Bahir's got cats. Keep them out of the room.
I'm talking about the feelings of wanting to murder things. Yeah.
All right. So the only big news that we've been hearing throughout these last 2 weeks is that everything is canceled. Like, Hollywood is essentially canceled, right? Marvel finally succumbed and decided to postpone Black Widow because, you know, they're getting real finally. It's funny, off of that news, China is really excited because China is like, see, we were worried that we weren't going to get any of the movies and that you guys would have watched everything before us, but now,
so now nobody's watching it.
Yeah.
You've got pilots delayed, TV shows delayed, which is going to be an interesting fall season. I mean, we're hoping all of this will get sorted out over the next few months because it looks like, last I read, China has no new cases reported, which is a good sign. And so if everyone kind of follows those strict rules, then this thing might be over sooner rather than later. And if so, what does all of this mean for Hollywood, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I mean, listen to other podcasts if you want to know what this means for culture and society at large. We're only talking about movies.
That's right.
TV shows.
Yeah, I mean, right. I've been listening to a lot of football podcasts, and they just don't know what to do with themselves.
The football journalists are starving.
Yeah. So now, in fact, a lot of them are starting to talk about, I'm seeing a lot of, my favorite games from history. So people are saying like, my favorite game was from the 98 World Cup, etc. So it's gone down the route of what old shit do you want to talk about now?
Yeah, I mean, the BBC is kind of I don't know who does the soccer down in the UK these days, but like, are they showing old stuff? I saw some people I follow who are kind of obsessed with like old BBC stuff talking about, hopefully they'll drag out some of the stuff from the archives because there's nothing live.
Yeah.
I did see, in my quest for free stuff on the internet, I did find, I think NBA, NHL and NBA are like extending, offering Game Pass and offering passes.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure if they're going to, like, every piece of news, even the what's it, The Way Back? Is it the Ben Affleck movie?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's coming to VOD. Everything reported, coming to VOD. It's like, having looked at many lists of free movies you can watch at YouTube that are not available in your country, I have to vet every fucking thing that's free online to see if it actually works here. But I haven't checked the NHL yet, haven't checked the NBA, but they're showing classic games.
Oh, that's cool.
What's ESPN doing? Like, how are they filling 24 hours worth of sports news?
I don't know what they're talking about right now.
ESPN 8, the Ocho, is it dodgeball season yet?
I told Bahia they could just, like, do Skype chess games.
Well, I don't know if you've heard, there's a comedian Richard Herring, he's ahead of the curve on this. He does a podcast, Rehearsal of the Play? The Richard Herring Leicester Square podcast, Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
Okay.
He interviews different people. Like, he's had Adam Buxton, comedians, you know, TV show musicians, the usual London set or English comedian set he'll have on. And he does, his interviews are quite interesting style. But he also does another podcast where it's Me Versus Me, where he talks about playing himself in pool.
Huh.
Nice.
Okay.
I think he's a miniature snooker table at home. And I never listened to it because it sounds like it would drive me insane in particular. But because he's a... when he's interviewing people, it's interesting to see a different style of interview. Him interviewing himself, like, double that might be a bit too much to watch. But there's hundreds of episodes there, and we might just see more and more of that content. I mean, looking at this Google Hangout, we could do a whole show like this somehow.
Well, I think the concern isn't about quantity of content. I mean, we've been bitching about this since we started the podcast and well before that as well, just because there's so much stuff to watch. So even if there isn't any new stuff out for a long time, everyone's going to be fine. It's the people making the stuff that's not going to be fine.
Yeah, when we were complaining about too much content, which one of you has the monkey's paw and how many fingers are left?
Correct, correct.
I don't get that reference.
It's the monkey's paw story where you make a wish and then one finger goes down and there's always a twist. So it's like, I wish for less content. It's like, this is what fucking happens. There's a Simpsons episode on it, of course.
But also, I mean, that's the biggest worry, right? Because all of the freelancers in the States, all of the cinema operators, the people who work part-time for cinemas, and not just in the States, but over here as well, they're all out of jobs. The cinema chains have, in the US, have appealed to Congress for a bailout. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what's going to happen here in Malaysia. We haven't had much news about the government addressing people's needs with regards to actual cash on hand, right? Congress just passed a massive plan in the United States at the time of this recording, which will include giving cash handouts to the public at large. I think their plan is $500 billion worth of cash handouts and then another $500 billion to kind of prop up the economy as much as possible.
Yeah.
But they're saying even that's not going to be enough.
80% of that goes into their friends' pockets, right? I mean, the cinema stuff is interesting here because here, there's not very many mom and pop theaters here, right?
No.
They're mostly big chains. So
I don't think there are any.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I hear about things like Boeing saying they're going to close, it's like, well, maybe you should have, I think it was Calvin, who's tweeted about this, saying like, well, maybe you should have had less avocados and lattes. You know, you should have put some money away for a rainy day instead of, you know, putting all the money into your investors or dividends to your shareholders' profits. In the US, there are still, I saw an article just this morning about there are still an awful lot of cinemas still open, despite the fact, I think, in New York and LA they closed last week, or California last week. And again, they're just, they don't seem to be realizing that this, just need to close it. Like, they're still doing social distancing in certain cities. And
guys,
it's like,
people are still going out on spring break.
Well, yeah, that spring break video is,
you know, so it's they're not going to have a handle on this for a long time, because imagine that's a group of horny, you know, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds going to one location and then going back to their separate states later on. And that's just going to be a bad thing.
These places might close down forever. This article was kind of writing it like the cinema, the distributors might help out the cinemas. It's like, fuck no. Why would they even
buy? No!
I mean, they get so much money from that. They're not getting enough money from that for streaming yet. But this could bump that. And I mean, this article seems to ignore the fact that the studios get like a huge slice of the money from the first X number of weeks of the cinema chains. The cinema chains have to make money on shitty, expensive popcorn and
drinks.
So,
yeah.
I don't know whether, the cinema chains should be, this is their time to say like, we should renegotiate or do something better or something, because they could just go away in the States. Here, I presume TGV, GSC, and NBO can last for a little while.
I think they can. I think over here, it's also a big concern regarding all of the freelancers in production, because so much of production is based on freelance work, whether you're a sound guy, an editor, and now the work's kind of dried up and they're going to have to manage God knows how many months before people start reissuing work and everything
ramping
starts
up
going
to production again. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But now's the best time to work on that script you've been sitting on.
I actually know quite a few people who are working on scripts right now just because they got nothing else to do. Yeah.
Get B-roll for that KL Zombie movie you want to make.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what I was going to do, yeah.
I don't know if anybody's thought about that.
I didn't get video yesterday because I had shopping in my hand. I just got the photo. But yeah, if you need any city center, empty city shots, got it.
Another interesting piece of news to come out of Europe. This one actually was on the request of the European Union. Netflix is actually going to reduce its streaming video bitrate for the next 30 days as to not clog up bandwidth in Europe, because everyone knows people are just going to be Netflixing and chilling.
Yeah, but also people are working from home. I mean, there's a reason people are saying in the States, you know, it's like, it's almost as if some of these constructs we have around our social life are bullshit, like the fact that they're giving, you know, they might give a social income, they might, you know, they're removing data caps. Having worked in some of the mobile data industry and throttling industry, there is only so much pipe out there. You might think like the quest for these 5G and everything else is that when your fridge talks to the internet, that's taking up so much lane on the highway. So there is only so many lanes on the highway. So unless everyone gets congestion fees, they do cap it. They do. Yeah, the States is particularly bad at this, I think, just because they don't seem to have a very good handle on their own network or whatever. But I need to, it's good I saw this story, because I probably, about 4 o'clock this afternoon, I need to call my parents and explain to them why Netflix is looking weird, if it's looking weird.
It's not broken.
It's like, we restarted the internet 600 times and now it won't come on at all. It's like, what was the problem? Netflix is weird. Oh, I should have told you about that.
Somebody should check up on Italy, because apparently now they can apply for free Pornhub accounts. Pornhub premium accounts in Italy is free now because of, you know, what they have to do.
You know what? You know, that's what I've always liked about Pornhub. They look after the people.
No, they're always on the ball with stuff like that, man. Those guys are just completely on the point. Yeah.
You know, people were asking us how you're coping with the self-quarantine, and both Bahe and I were just like, you know what? This is our life normally. We just kind of stay at home and watch stuff. So it's really...
This is the dream. Well, not really, but...
Shut-ins for life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is kind of, it's weird when your life doesn't actually change all that much after the government has issued a movement restriction.
Except apparently now there's funding involved.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So that's a step in my direction, my friends.
I don't know, man. I usually live by the seat of my pants, figuring out what I'm gonna have for dinner a day or two in advance. I gotta plan a whole week in advance for food now.
Oh man.
I don't know.
I've got way too many packets of Maggie Me just in case.
I mean, well, we have like a nuclear bunker supply of Indomie at all times anyway.
Oh,
so that's
man.
Okay.
I was too late to that shelf, man. Everything has been gone.
I'm not even talking about now. Every time we go to Indonesia, we come back with a separate suitcase full of Indonesian Indomie.
Oh man, I need to make a run to your house.
The original stuff, the good stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, that was one thing yesterday. So they had loads of meat in Mercado, completely out of bolognese sauce.
Well,
I've got four cans of that stuff.
So much carbonara. So much carbonara.
I went down to the supermarket near mine, and the pasta shelf is empty, but nobody wants the whole meal pasta or the organic stuff. All of that stuff is still there.
That's just way too expensive. I may be desperate, but I'm not bougie.
And all the elitist stuff, right? The jars full of artichoke hearts, untouched.
Sorry, point of order. Can you just write that down to put that on the website? I may be desperate, but I'm not bougie.
Yes. Let's do that. Japanese premium Wagyu available.
Oh, there was so much. Oh, where was that? I think that was one shop we went to. No, that wasn't there. That was somewhere else over the week. We went to shop. We had to have a look, and we had a look in the shop, and it was just like nothing but Wagyu. And it's like, this could go on a while. We can't afford to eat Wagyu all the time.
Just cut them up into really thin slices.
So with nothing in the cinemas, we've not had a screening for a very, very long time. And we still have no idea when the new movies are actually going to start rolling out. Because obviously, even if this movement restriction works in Malaysia and we manage to curb the number of new cases, our cinema releases are highly dependent on what the United States is going through and what Europe is going through. So what the three of us have been doing is trawling the internet, not just to watch old movies and classic movies, but also pretty shitty movies, because, you know, we've got the time to do that now.
Well, we should say that that's what we're going to be doing. Like, we're going to switch over to, like, I know I've been trawling the internet looking for any kind of free-ish activity, because a lot of artists and people are putting stuff out there for free. I'm still working on my list. There's a lot of comics, a lot of, like, you know, coloring in pages if you want to do that. I've seen some... Some colleges in the U.S. are putting their classes online, but I need to check if they will work here. So we're going to be digging up that kind of stuff. Mm. I mean, we should say if you only listen to the podcast, we already have on the website, was it 7 foreign movies you should watch?
Foreign TV series. I've got 7 more coming out soon, because that's the kind of guy I am.
And we've got 9 movies so far on Netflix and Amazon. We can talk. We've done.
That's right. So Ian went through Amazon and Netflix to make sure all of these things were actually available on the Malaysian edition of these streaming platforms.
And for Lifehack, if you're on the web version of Netflix, whatever, you can select a genre, and like mine generally just recommends the same shit all over the fucking place. So there is an option in the top right-hand corner that's, I think there's a button to show like squares or lists or whatever. Beside that, there's another one, and it generally goes to suggested. It defaults to suggested
for you. Yeah.
You can just change it to A to Z or release date, which is how I went through this, because I saw a lot of these lists from Vulture and Polygon and stuff, and I go through, oh, got movies on there. Click on it. Nope, not available in your region, which just pisses me off.
So we've got this article up on our site on the top of the page, and we're going to keep updating that one article by adding films to it. And everything we've watched, everything we're going to watch and come across on Netflix and Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime may be new to a lot of you, because I think a lot of people didn't know that it was actually available in Malaysia. But of late, they've partnered up with DG, and I've actually seen billboards up.
Really?
I think if you are a DG account holder, you get free Amazon Prime or something. So it makes it a lot easier for Malaysians to have access. And yeah, there are a ton of great originals, ton of great new movies. Bahe's reviewed Hunters, which is what I'm currently watching. I'm on episode 6, so I've got 4 more to go.
Yeah, Amazon Prime's got like Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is amazing. Jack Ryan's on there. 2 seasons of Jack Ryan, 3 seasons of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So definitely get on that boat.
And their movie selection is deeply weird, but yes, it can be good stuff. Like they have some Star Trek movies. I think most of the TV shows are on Netflix, so the movies are there. But like I saw the news that like Community is coming to Netflix at the end of March. It's like, we can't wait till then. It's on Amazon Prime, which is handy. I didn't know they were all on there.
That's actually an interesting deal, because it's actually going to Netflix and Hulu in the US. So they're both getting all seasons of Community. We just need more and more of this stuff now, because we're trapped at home with nothing to do.
But also we need just more happy stuff. Community definitely fits that void of just happy stuff.
And you also get to see where the Russos cut their teeth.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the big... I think that's the big part of that line in the article. Is like, look where Infinity War came from.
Exactly.
Paintball!
Paintball episodes. Yeah, that's great.
So what we decided to do this week, because there's nothing new in cinemas and also because everything is closed, Ian came upon some really bad films. One of them worse than the other.
I was looking for like free streaming platforms, and like I slightly worry for Disney Plus because Hotstar doesn't work here, and it also looks like a shit website for the Indian company that's going to do it.
Correct.
Here. And I am looking for, because we've done Netflix, Amazon, not everyone can afford that, so I was just looking to see if there are any free platforms that actually work here. Tubi.com seems to, like, it was free, it worked here, because Vudu let me log in and do everything and this wouldn't play anything, so I don't know if that is something my end or not. So I'm just looking for anything we can get for people to just watch as they get bored of stuff. And sure, Velocipastor and Wolf Cop were an easy thing to start with, but there are things on there like We Need to Talk About Kevin. Is it Francis Ford Coppola's Dementia 13 is on there? There's a couple of Dario Argento horror movies on there. And for TV shows, they've got Green Wing, the BBC medical comedy. And so there's some good stuff on there.
There is. And Tubi TV was just this week, I think, or last week, acquired by Fox.
Yeah.
That's right, for like $200 million US or something. But yeah, you don't actually, what I found when I was watching Velocipastor and Wolf Cop was you don't even actually have to register. You can just search for the movie and click play.
Yeah. Oh, really? I logged in so I could create a queue of garbage for myself to keep a track of all this.
You know, you need a playlist going in times like this.
Because I wasn't going to go scrolling through it all over again.
As you do.
There's an awful lot of stuff on there which might look a bit familiar if you don't know the movie. Like Hellinger looks a lot like the poster for Hellraiser.
Oh, there are tons of this. Amazon Prime has a bunch of these movies that look like other movies. So if you thought The Day After Tomorrow was too high end, they've got another film about the world freezing over. If you thought Rampage, you know, had too much of The Rock, here's another version with just a bald fat guy in it.
I mean, most of them are made by The Asylum. They're the company who brought out Transmorphers the same week as Transformers.
That's right.
There was a great article on those guys a while back. I can't remember where I saw them, but essentially they were just like, that's their market. The market is, if you went to see a Hollywood blockbuster that cost $200 million and you enjoyed it, why not try this one? Just because.
I mean, I've already added to my my, as well as those good Smack the Pony and Green Wing, I've added to my queue the entire Evil Bong series, because that's a thing apparently.
What?
There's Evil Bong. There's a series of movies about an evil bong, and there's at least seven of them.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, there has to be something in just, it's an anthropological study just to see how did they get to seven. I mean, stoners. I don't know, is there a stoner version of drunk shopping? I don't know, but like seven movies? Jesus.
Oh, a lot of these movies feel like they were made in your backyard, right? I mean,
and Velocipastor actually was.
Yes. I mean, Wolf Cop seems to have a much higher production value, but Velocipastor, which tells the story of a pastor whose parents die in front of him, and he decides to go where God will not follow to find himself.
China!
And that place is China. In big, bold letters, China, which turns out to be the forest in his backyard.
I'm glad they don't actually spend much time in China, because I don't know if I want to see that.
No, but I think you can tell they were setting their stall out very much, where like he's waving at his parents like a school. She's like, hi, mom and dad. And then it's like VFX car explosion. But the China thing is like, you see China as a title card, and then you cut to him standing there going, China. Like, they're aiming for a level of kind of shtick, but I don't know whether it's the timing or something. It just misses every single time.
No, that was one moment for me when he just goes, China, it is in the east. Where I went, bah-ha! But that's about it. Everything else didn't quite land.
And for me, guys, I think I was watching it with my wife last night. And I think the one thing to make clear is that this was made 2 years ago. It was released August. I mean, it made a cinematic release August 13th, 2019. So it's not an old film.
No, but I don't think modernity is not the issue here. The issue is their budget was $3.
No, $35,000.
$35,000?
I looked it up, my friend. And that's my issue. That's my issue with Velocipasta. I was so excited when I first heard about it because I thought it was going to be a car crash. But this is a movie pretending to be a car crash, and that's where my problem is.
That's what makes it worse, right? Because
and not worse in a good way.
It's trying to be bad for the sake of it.
For the sake of being a bad movie.
Yeah, and it's hard to pull that off. If you want to do that right, and I think we'll get to that in Wolf Cop, but there are moments that like I felt if they'd gone with them, it could have gone... I mean, we should say, the priest who becomes a velociraptor. When he actually turns into a dinosaur, the effects are shit. It looks like paper mache, right?
Oh, it's garbage.
It's a rubber suit.
I'm glad they kept that right to the end, because if that was any sooner in the movie, I would have turned that shit off.
But like, there are moments that could have been brilliant. There's a point where like, there's a guy talking, there's an inexplicable flashback to the war, and then like, there's a guy talking about his sweetheart back home, and then she's there, runs over to him, and just explodes into like, a literal like, what do you call it, water bomb of blood.
Yes.
There's nothing left.
Yeah, yeah.
And these guys beside her are like, he says like, there's nothing we can do for her. Like, there's literally nothing left.
There's nothing of her left. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do anything for her now. She's too far gone. Like, what was she doing in the forest? I don't know. Trying to start a family? It's just like, that moment and the inexplicable Australian ninja.
Yes.
Crikey, it's the Dragon Warrior.
Ugh.
Those moments were so close to working for me that I thought, you know, those could have worked out well. Also, the actual plot is that priests or missionaries are selling drugs so that people will join self-help groups. Like, there's a line where, that the best line in the movie is, what does drug smuggling have to do with Christianity? And there's a guy in the background waiting like three beats goes, everything!
Yeah, that guy and his laugh. Well, let's be honest, that guy was his brother, right?
I like that. That plot twist was not... I did not see that
coming. I don't know, man.
Think it feels so much like a student film. It feels like something parodic or satirical that someone would make for the final year project and then decide it was good enough to actually release on a streaming platform. Did you say it had a cinema release, Bahe?
Yeah, dude. It was... So it had its premiere at a horror festival in 2018, 31st August 2018, and then it got a limited cinema release 13th of August 2019. So it took them a year to get that distribution. So I get it.
But I mean, have you guys ever seen Alfred Packer or Cannibal the Musical?
What?
No.
No, it's... I'm not sure if it's a student film or it's an early film by Trey Parker and Matt Stone. No,
don't know that one.
It was like passed around on VHS in college. I don't know where someone got it. Like taped it off cable in the US and sent it around. And it is a musical. And it's got all the hallmarks of South Park, like the inexplicable songs,
right,
Uber, everything like that. And it stars Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And it's the... Is it the Donner Party is the group that tried to, you know, cross the US in wintertime and all died and reverted to cannibalism? It's basically that story, but as a musical. And, like, it's got schlocky effects and everything. I mean, there's some good stuff. When they start off, there's a cheery guy who's singing, let's build a snowman. You know, Disney obviously have watched this. And, like, by the time he gets around to the third time singing it when they're dying of starvation, one of the other guys just shoots him in the face. He's like, fuck off, singing that fucking song. But it looks like the same, like, it was made... What, mid-2000s? So, but it looks like the same quality of shooting style as Velocipastor, you know? It's like the woods around South Park where they live and all that kind of stuff.
And that's the problem, right? It feels like these guys took inspiration from something like that. And we know Parker and Stone have fantastic comedy timing and they're so good at what they do, right? Even though they make it feel stupid or they make it feel easy, there's a tremendous amount of thought that goes into these things. I mean, how else could you write a song called Shut Your Fucking Face, Uncle Fucker, and make it so goddamn catchy, right? It's genius. These guys felt like they took inspiration from that and then made a fan film. That's pretty much the best way I can describe this. It's trying to be funny. It's trying to be horrific. It's trying to be cute and satirical, but it's just failing at every step.
No, the problem is it's not even trying to be funny. It's trying to be a B-grade movie and failing at that, right? So, like, I was telling my wife...
You're right. It's not a B-grade movie. It's trying to be one. It's doing as much as it can to pull off that
and
fakeness.
Like, there were shots where, you know, you could see the fake background in the back of some of the driving shots. And I mean, the 2 minutes in, there's the insert VFX car explosion here thing. That wasn't funny. Like, I think it would have been funnier had they just put a bad VFX of a car fire.
Correct.
Like a toy car, like a matchbox car on fire.
When you look at something that is made with the best of intentions but turns out to be shit, like The Room, for example, when you watch that, remember when we were talking about it a while ago and we were talking about that scene on the roof, which had some tremendous lighting for something that was The Room, you could see that even though it was made on a budget, even though he had no idea what he was doing, he was trying his hardest. The fake scene at the back of the car was intentionally made to be fake.
Yes.
But also, like, he bought, I mean, you say it was made in a budget.
Actually, yeah, you're right. He spent a ton of money, right?
There's a lot of weird shit going on there. I don't think that this, like, the intention was bad on this. I don't think it was in bad faith. I think they thought it was funny, but it's one of those things where by the time it gets out, maybe it was funny in the writing stage, and then by the time it shot it, it just didn't work. Should say both movies, though, I should say the music is pretty good.
Well, so I was going to get to this because we talk about that, and then you talk about Wolf Cop, and I'm watching Wolf Cop, and I'm thinking the writer-director of this has clearly studied horror films, body horror movies, and monster movies because he knows what he's doing. He's working on a budget, but it turns out looking pretty, like the transformation is some great body horror. He doesn't transform into a wolf. He rips his skin off to become a wolf.
They've very clearly seen an American Werewolf.
And apparently that skin just sticks around afterwards because someone finds his face. Because that's just horrific.
And then plays with it. It's like, oh, look, it looks like your face.
It looks like your
face.
I guess
we're going to go to Wolf Cop.
Yeah.
One last thing on the music from Velocipastor. I just like the names of the bands. It was Free Parking, The Holy Mess, and Math, the Band.
Math the Band, great name.
But even from the beginning of Wolf Cop, like, you realize the opening credits, which is just like some people stalking a werewolf, that's a flashback. I only get that later on in the movie. The movie doesn't need to tell you that.
Yeah.
It's not the Invisible Man, but it's similar scene setting in that you see Elizabeth Moss is obviously scared of this guy from her actions alone. You never even see the guy. You can tell this guy is a complete fucking washout by just the state of him getting up in the morning, dropping his gun under the car as a cop car, and then just like puking out the door like, I think I've got who this character is.
Also, that sequence when he walks out of the house, drops the gun on the floor, pulls out, opens the door, pukes, gets back in and just drives off, has got some great comic timing. It's the puke. It's just fantastic comic timing.
Yeah, he didn't just study horror movies. He also studied framing, editing, blocking, all that kind of stuff really, really well.
So you mean he went to school?
Maybe he didn't. But yeah, so this is the story of, like, was it Lou Guru? Is that his name? Sergeant Lou Guru, yeah.
Jeez.
And I mean, the guy, the casting agent on this was great because the guy has a look, even before he's a fucking werewolf.
Yeah.
Like, him and his mate Billy, like, those guys are destined for greatness, I think. He just has, I don't know, they just look like, I can, they were a really nice, cute buddy couple.
He's like a poor man's Craig Bierko.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got this bulk to him, he's got this heft to him, which is quite, you know, imposing, but at the same time, he's such a schlub in the beginning of the film that the transformation into, you're a wolf, cop, is awesome. I mean, he's got a fucking wolfmobile.
Yeah. That's the first thing he did. Because the thing is, this guy, like, you know, you might have seen Leaving Las Vegas. This guy makes Nick Cage look like fucking Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, there's a point where someone gives him a cup of coffee and he takes out his hip flask and he just pours. Like, there might be a thin layer of coffee in that cup by the time he's finished in that alcohol.
I'm just surprised that there's the amount of alcohol that's in that flask because he keeps drinking from it and that thing just never seems to run out. That's great.
I mean, the first few times he turns into a wolf, he's so drunk he doesn't remember. It's not that. I was wondering, and they play that. Like, they let you know, like, is it the fact that when he's the wolf he doesn't remember? Is it a Jack and Hall situation?
Yeah.
Or was he just so blaze drunk he can't remember?
Yeah.
Because he can never remember his evenings.
At the end of the film, I thought to myself, this is sort of like Jackie Chan's Drunken Master, but not.
Also, I have to say, there were a whole bunch of twists in this movie that I did not see coming, and it's been a long time since that's happened.
Yeah, there was the world building as well. Like, you know, they have the Drink and Shoot is the name of the, like, it's almost like the radio in Grand Theft Auto. Like, they have ads for liquor donuts. They're donuts with liquor.
I was going to ask, is that a thing? Have you guys tried?
I don't think
I'm
so.
Just like,
I've never heard of.
I
a
don't
liquor
know
donut.
Why nobody's tried it yet, because that thing just sounds like a great idea.
Was this? This movie was shot before or after Dick Cheney shot his friends, like, on shooting. Like, it was just the idea, like, every year this town gets together and goes drinking and shooting because that's what a shithole it is.
Sounds like a great time out, guys.
Says the guy who doesn't drink alcohol. No, but everything for me watching this movie, maybe it was coming off of Velocipasta, but everything seemed to work for me. I had such a good time watching this film, and I wasn't laughing at it. That's the thing with a lot of bad movies. I enjoy watching bad movies. I went through this phase where I was watching all of these shark/octopus/sharktopus movies I could find. And let me tell you, there are a lot of those. And
too
they're
many.
All quite hilarious. But you're laughing at the film. You're laughing at the stupidity of the movie.
If you're laughing at all, I mean, was it Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus? That's the one where the shark eats the plane, right?
Yeah.
And that's the only funny... But it jumps out of the water. It's genius. It's in the trailer. It's online. There's a guy sitting on a plane and he's like, oh, can I have a drink or whatever like that? And he's trying to fix his seat or whatever. And then he just looks out the window. It just looks like a normal shot for a very long time. And then he goes, what the fuck? And then you just see the shark jumping out of the water and like T-boning the plane. And it is a moment of cinematic genius, and everything else in that movie's crap.
It is its own genre though, the shark octopus movie. There are so many of them, right? But with Wolf Cop, I think there was a lot of time that actually went into writing it and making sure it worked. These guys actually built out a mythology around why this werewolf and shapeshifters exist in this universe.
Because he's basically made a werewolf. It's not like he gets bitten or something like that. There's an actual thing behind it. It plays into the plot. I was like, oh, wow, they really
This the village idiot thing was great.
Yeah. And everything reveals character, right? They chose him because he's the village idiot. He's like, he's harmless. You can control him even when he's a werewolf or not because he's so wasted.
And then there is the funniest werewolf sex scene ever put on film.
Wait, hang on. Are there more werewolf sex scenes that I'm not made aware of?
Yeah.
I mean, there are sex scenes in things like American Werewolf in Paris and stuff like that. But I think this was specifically done to make fun of those things, because obviously it's not werewolf sex. And in this one, at one point, the character just goes, no offense intended, but I'm so happy that I got to wait for this upgrade.
Ah,
yeah. The transformation in the bathroom, you know, leads with his penis transforming. It's like, you're not going to see that in your normal movie.
Look, I did not need to see that at all. I'll be honest. Like, I wish that just cut to the next shot. I really did not need a close-up of that happening, because that's going to scar me for life.
He really knows how to play with the body horror.
No,
right?
Absolutely,
even that first transformation with him ripping off hair.
Yes.
I mean, it's just caked in blood. And it's
so much
good.
Blood.
I really enjoyed this. And then,
blood.
And then in 2016... he released another Wolf.
Yeah, I saw that. That's not on Tubi, I don't think. So we have to figure we dig that one out.
I've got to figure out where to find it. That's actually, that won the best Canadian feature film at the Fantasia Film Festival 2017.
That's high praise.
USA Today Life calls it the Citizen Kane of werewolf cop movies.
Sure.
Dread Central says it's the best Canadian export since Pamela Anderson, and I have to agree.
I mean, there is that time he transforms and he's actually aware of what he's doing. It's like, Lou, you're a wolf. And he just turns and goes, cop. Like, his teeth, he was definitely having a problem with his teeth. But, like, even they have the RoboCop moment where he's in the shop and he says, what the dick are you? And he goes, the fuzz. But then there's even just that other guy. What was it, Billy? Oh, man.
His best friend, Billy?
Yeah. What was his name? Jesus. Oh, Jonathan Cherry was his name. Again, he looks like, you know, an actor you would see in Normal Things, not in Wolf Cop. But just even as he's coming back from murdering these bank robbers, he just says out of the car, kind of like casually, like, don't forget to murder someone else on the way to the car. You know, keep a low profile. Just little lines like that. The zingers that go through it that I really, really liked. When the deputy is asking the shop guys, like, tell it, any ideas on the purpose? Like, tell him what you told me. It was a big fucking wolf cop.
No. Highly recommend it. I mean, if you want something to do in this quarantine, Wolf Cop is the thing to watch. I need to go look for another Wolf Cop, because at the end of this film, it says Wolf Cop 2 coming soon. And I Googled it I started looking on Tubi, but I couldn't find it.
No, it's not on there. Having scrolled through an awful lot of streaming platforms this week, it's not on there. And it should have been Wolf Cop, the coming soon Wolf Cop 2, as in T-O-O, you know, to follow up on Teen Wolf 2, to follow that thing.
I think if you're going to watch this, and I think you should watch this, I think you should make your friends watch it too, so that you can then call each other and just talk about it, because this is one of those films. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
because the thing with Velocipastor, I think some of the lines like China and all that kind of stuff, we will laugh about those ourselves, but not because of the movie.
But because it was so bad, no. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Wolf Cop, it just rocks.
Yeah, you should definitely watch it, and you should definitely make other people watch it as well, because that's the best part. To do this, like, we just did, what, 30 minutes on this, 20 minutes on this, and it's great. You can do more.
Yeah.
I went to the website to... They have a shop.
Oh, I was going to ask. Do they have t-shirts?
Sold out.
Oh, shit.
I thought we needed a poster for the Goggler office, but all of the posters are sold out, so I thought I might email them, because their email address is hellyeah@wolfcop.com.
Sorry, just because I'm recording in a different room, I'm not looking at my big screen. Did you see that effect when they, like, tore the guy's face off his skull?
Yeah. And like, then he walks up to Billy and goes, "Oh!"
Starts screaming at him.
That's great.
Yeah, it was like the Red Skull, but on a budget, and it looked really good. Like, this is the thing. This is not like, oh, they're trying well with the effects. Like, it looked awesome.
Yeah, Wolf Cop, highly recommended. You can watch it for free on TubiTV.com. What more could you possibly want? We're going to be watching more of these. I've started, even at the bottom of Tubi, you know, once you've seen Wolf Cop and then there are other recommendations, those look just as bad, but not all of them in a good way. So I think we need to find bad movies that are actually really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I'll see if I can get a whole series out of Evil Bong and they have Puppet Master movies on there as well?
Oh, yeah. Those are classics, though.
Those are actual classics.
Oh, they also one of them was The Happiness of the Katakuris is on there, the Japanese movie that I've always meant to watch but haven't. It's a weird horror musical thing.
What?
Yeah, it would always be in the specialist DVD store, like where beside The Ring and beside Houseu. Is it Houseu? Is that weird Japanese horror movie as well? So I'm going to get around to it.
Do you know what the tagline for another Wolf Cop is?
Oh, go for it.
Sequels are a disease. Meet the cure.
Nice.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Another Wolf Cop, the hairy arm of the law.
Well, that's a pretty good one.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah. These guys have thought everything through. Right, so go check out Wolf Cop. If you can find another Wolf Cop, let us know, because we really want to know where to watch it.
Yeah. Keep an eye on the website. We'll be putting up... I am currently going through all those lists of free movies to watch on YouTube that are not available, that turn out... 85% of those are not available in your country.
It's time on the show for us to give you some recommendations, and God knows we've been doing a lot of stuff at home, so we've got a ton of recommendations. Bahe, do you have your recommendation ready?
Yeah, I was just going to... My recommendation would be to actually check out some of those shows I mentioned on my list on Goggler.my. There are a few really obvious ones, like Narcos, Money Heist is getting some really good buzz right now. But check out, you know... Depending on what your mood is in, Dark's a great sort of adult version of Stranger Things.
Adult as in, like, adults, not porn.
No, adults as in for adults, yeah. I know, I keep forgetting, I keep trying to word that better, but I can't. So, yeah.
Grown-up version.
The grown-up version. Grown-up, yeah, grown-up version of Stranger Things. There's a really great... Brazilian show called Most Beautiful Thing.
Have you guys watched that one that's like two words? It's like Agio Ojo or something. It's like Aglio Olio, but it's not.
Giri Haji.
Yeah, did you recommend that one?
It's going to be in my part two.
Ah.
By his dad recommended that one.
So, but yeah.
Do we need a label? Do we need an image for that on the site? By his dad recommended?
Sure, like a big thumbs up with my dad's face on it. Yeah. But yeah, my recommendation would be to give those a try. You know, Parasite's gotten a lot of buzz for being a foreign film that won at the Oscars. So give these guys a go. I mean, they're really good stuff.
Get yourself over the inch-high obstacle of the subtitles.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it doesn't, I don't know, I guess some people have trouble with it, but...
No, you know what it is? I think a lot of people these days... Just because of the sheer amount of content, a lot of people also watch stuff without actually paying attention to it. They have it running in the background. They'll be cooking dinner. They'll be reading something on their phone, checking their
email. Playing a phone game.
With a foreign film or a foreign TV show, you really need to pay attention because you don't actually understand the language.
Yeah, but also, you know, playing with your phone while watching the subtitles and taking the movie in. That's like galaxy brain, you know what I mean? That's like train yourself for God. after that... Once you can like look at your phone and watch a foreign movie and understand it all and tell people about it later, the next stage is just levitating cups with your mind.
Yeah. Then you really will become the adult version of 11.
Yay.
Hey.
Grown up. Sorry, yeah.
I can't remember if I've recommended that this before this show, but it's a bit of you know, something fun that came up that I've been reminded of recently because they're based in Canada, France, so I don't see their tweets that often. It's KK is their name. It's KK Flipnote on Twitter. It's a Twitter account. And what they do is they do animations on a DS, not a 3DS or, you know, any of the more recent, or Switch, a DSi, which is, there was a Flipnote program built in. So they all look like old GIFs where there's an awful lot of pixelization on them, but they're incredibly cute, fat, little, chunky boys that he draws, that animates. So, like, the one that the pin tweet I'm looking at the moment is just like fat pigeons that bounce up and down on their legs in time with the can-can, and like their necks stay this, their heads stay in the same spot, so their necks go up and down, and everything he does has this kind of bouncy effect to it. It's at KK Flipnote, so he's doing a lot of stuff for Animal Crossing coming up soon with like Tom Nook bouncing around the place. He has a lovely series between like a Rottweiler and a Corgi or something like that, where they're like animated versions of their relationship, their gay relationship, which is quite cute. And it's amazing that like, or he also gets photos of cats and animals online that, you know, they look weird. Like there's one I'm looking of, like a cat that's like got a blanket over it, so it looks like a weird long cat. But then he'll animate the version, the long version, you know what I mean?
So does he create his own images or does he animate existing images?
He looks like he might take a video that's already been done, but he'll draw from scratch.
Ah, okay.
But he's doing it on a Nintendo DSi. Yeah. You know how big that screen is?
That's insane.
And it's animating in Flipnote, which is like a, you know, like a flip the pages, flip the corners on Post-its animation. And he's done some other work as well, but he's a really nice style. It's really cheerful stuff. If you need some cheering up while you're doing this restricted movement, it's the place to be.
All right. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that because my recommendation, which drops today on the 20th, is Animal Crossing New Horizons.
You can't recommend something you've never played.
I pre-ordered it on my Nintendo Switch. No, but I've played Animal Crossing and it's awesome. And I pre-ordered this on my Nintendo Switch. The download is waiting for me when I click it. I think in an hour or so.
You're ready to be Tom Nook's bitch again, huh?
Yeah. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. You know what? This is a game where people can go outside and live a relaxed life and meet other people and have fun.
And do something you've never done.
In this era of restricted movement. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some, again, because Nintendo doesn't know how the internet works and doesn't know how to do stuff. Like, are you planning on sharing? If you have this console, you can't share it with anyone because you get one island per Switch, not per account.
Oh, is it per Switch?
Yeah.
I thought it was per account on the Switch.
No, so before you let anyone else monkey around with your Switch in Animal Crossing, beware, they can fuck shit up in your village. Also, I saw
someone... Oh, can I borrow your Switch?
Yeah. No, but I think even the online sharing thing, like, there's no restrictions, so someone could just come in and bulldoze everything you've built, I think. Yeah, so be careful who you let in.
Really?
But, I mean, it's pretty good, but it's also... You can only play it for, like, I had the... I think it was New Leaf, the one on the Nintendo DS?
Oh, I didn't play the Nintendo DS version. The last one I played
that
the
one for
iPhone
a while.
Version. Yeah.
Yeah, the iPhone version kind of sucked balls though, right?
It did. Yeah, it wasn't great. Yeah. But for those of you who don't know, Animal Crossing is essentially a Sims-like game where you go around, you do missions, you kind of...
Yeah, it's a little bit more involved than Sims, I think.
Do you think? I mean, Sims is pretty involved, dude.
Sims is fucking up these little people. You're like in the town, you're bodied in it in this one, but like you can go around in the one I played, you could go around looking for fossils that you could bring to the delightful owl who ran the museum.
Yes, correct.
It wasn't like Stardew Valley where you're cultivating crops, but you could
be a farmer,
on trees,
yeah,
and get stuff. I mean, I haven't been back to mine in a while and it's going to be scary now because if I do, when you go back to your house you can buy stuff. This Tom Nook raccoon motherfucker, like, he'll constantly say, I'll give you a loan for a house, and then he'll be like, you have to work to pay him off.
Yes.
And then as soon as you do, he's like, now you can upgrade. Like, you never get out from the thumb of Tom Nook.
I've never played this game. This sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it's also meant to be played in real time almost, because stuff happens while you're not playing, right? I mean, it is, when you think about it, a pretty scary proposition because you're in the middle of the wilderness and a raccoon pops up and says, hey, I got a deal for you. And that's how all the games pretty much start. So it's kind of...
Want to buy a watch?
Yeah, exactly.
It's only got a bit of blood on it.
Is that what you kids call it nowadays? Yeah,
pretty much. But there's a tremendous amount of satisfaction in those short moments, right? I mean, you can go fishing and catch rare fish. I mean, it's like playing those RPGs and walking around looking for cool magical items, right?
It's only the Nintendo Skinner box.
It is. Yeah, pretty much.
It is. It just gives you your digital dopamine every day, and then you go back and come back the following day.
So, yeah. So that comes out on the Nintendo Switch, and I'm going to be doing that over the next few days.
And, I mean, if you haven't, I would look as well online for, like, because of the release schedules. There's been no games out for a while, and Animal Crossing and Doom Eternal come out on the same day, and there's some beautiful artwork out of there of like the little dog from Animal Crossing and the guy from Doom crossing over into each other's worlds, and they're awesome.
Also, I have a second recommendation, because you know, in this time of virus panic, I think it's a great time to go reread Why the Last Man by Brian K. Vaughan. if you don't know, this is the story of a virus wiping out every man on the planet except one, and it's a road trip comic essentially about Yorick traversing America and the world to kind of find a cure or find out what happened to the planet. And it's brilliantly written. It's part of a series of comics that Brian K. Vaughan wrote. This one, Ex Machina, in the lead up to, I guess, his current magnum opus, which is Saga. All of them are very self-contained stories. You can find them all digitally, or you can I was going to say you can find them in bookshops, but all the bookshops are closed, so you're better off finding them all digitally. And it's about to be made into a television series, but that's been having tons of problems. I think they just lost their lead actor.
They've been about to make that into a TV series for the last 4 years now or something.
Yeah, since it came out, basically.
Well, the thing is, they've shot a pilot already and they lost the lead actor. So now I think they've recast someone else in the role of Yorick. And I don't know if they're going to reshoot the pilot. And now with all of this COVID stuff happening, who knows if that's going to happen. But the comic book is an incredibly great piece of literature on its own, so you want to go check that out. And it's not depressing. That's good.
And also, just on comics, if you go to Comixology, they usually have a tab at the top or somewhere. It's free comics if you just want to get some free shit, to some stuff to read. And there's usually a good amount in that section.
Yeah, there is.
Whether it's first issues, there might be first issues for stories that have collections coming out, or you know, samplers and stuff like that. So it's well worth having a look.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, so we're going to be back next week. We'll probably still be recording remotely, but do drop us a line on all of our social medias, GogglerMY, also on goggler.my/contact to tell us what you've been up to since your movement has been restricted. How are you coping? What is on your entertainment schedule these days? And also, how are you entertaining your kids? Because I guess they're home all the time now, and you're home all the time now. And, you know, instead of just you can't go out. Instead of just sitting them in front of an iPad, what exactly are you doing with your kids, entertainment-wise? Let us know. This is another episode of the Goggler Podcast, COVID edition, signing out.